Welcome to Books and Beyond with your host, Alison. Join us for half an hour of information, entertainment, reading recommendations, and beyond. Brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
I know this girl, and she works in a...
Nau mai, haere mai, kia ora, and welcome to Books and Beyond. Ko Alison toku ingoa, no Ireland, oku tipuna. Ke te noho o ki Tāmaki makaurau. I'm honoured to be joined in the studio today by two awesome wahine, colleagues, librarians and authors. So I have Terry Ta'ala and Veronica Lingalinga with me. Kia ora talofa and warm Pacific greetings to you both.
Kia ora, Alison.
Talofa, Alison.
It's so lovely to have you here. So, Terry, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Kia ora, Alison. Ko toku pepeha, ko rua pehu te maunga, ko Wanganui te awa, ko te ati haunui a paparangi te iwi, ko Terry Ta'ala tuku ingoa. My name is Terry Ta'ala and I am from the Wanganui River and, yeah, that's where I grew up.
Thanks, Terry. Kia ora, that's wonderful. And Ronnie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Talofa lava, Alison. Olo ingoa, Veronica Lingalinga. O te saumai lalafanga o vai lima, malifa, mautuali, iapia Samoa. Talofa, talofa lava.
Talofa, thanks for that. I know Valima, actually. So, yeah, oh, that's awesome. Now, look, the reason we're here is that Auckland Libraries has just celebrated the publication of its first Te Reo Māori children's book, and it's called Mama Heakai Ana Mato, and which translates to Mom, We're Hungry, and it was written by Terry. And it's been translated into the Samoan by Ronnie. And the title of the Pasifika version of the book is Tina Ua Mato Fia A Ai. Wonderful. It's a fabulous book. I really love it. So we were talking about this morning and about having the two versions of the book, which is a wonderful thing. But we were talking about how interesting it is to look at both books and to compare the languages and sort of see the similarities and the differences. So shall we talk vegetables? Would we like to?
Yes, we would like to. Getting the right page. For me personally, I've found it very interesting to compare the Māori vegetables with the Samoan vegetables.
Yeah.
And their names. Because there is quite a few similarities. For example, one of the easy ones was tomato, which is tomato in Māori, and the Samoan is?
Tomato.
Oh, right.
A bit of a vowel change, but right. Yeah, very similar. For cucumber, we've got kukama in Te Reo Māori.
And we've got kukama.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's similar. Quite similar, isn't it?
Very similar. Yes. Yeah, so, and the last one from the vegetable basket is a very interesting word in Māori, which is rahopuru. And what would be in Samoan?
So for the Samoan translation, it's avoka.
Oh.
For avocado.
Avocado. Oh, that is interesting because they're completely different words, I guess, aren't they?
They are. And like we discussed a bit before about the different transliteration words that can come up in, when you're translating. And the word for avocado, rahopuru, and I'm not too sure how descriptive we can be on national radio. So the literal translation is bull's testicle.
Oh, how interesting. Yeah, no, we're allowed to say that.
Oh,
we definitely are. I think I've said worse.
We're safe.
We're safe. Well, because it kind of... Well, look, not, it's exactly. Not my specialist subject, but it kind of does look a bit like that.
That's true.
Or what I imagine it might look like.
And I'm told that the word avocado, actually, that's the description.
Oh, how interesting. Yeah. I've learnt something today. That's fantastic. Well done. And then we were going to also talk about the hamburger meat or mince meat. So, and that's an interesting story, isn't it? So, Ronnie, I wondered if you could tell us about how you translated that word.
Okay, so the word mince itself does not have a direct translation in Samoan, in the Samoan language. So what I had to do was I had to try and break the word down to make sense to the child. So it's a longest translation, but it does make sense. So it literally translates manufasi otipitipi lili'i, which means it's the meat that's been chopped into pieces or smaller pieces.
Yeah. Oh, good. That makes a lot of sense. And that sure that must help kids work out where their food comes from too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like you just rock up to the supermarket and buy
packages. The word, I mean, even the processing of mince, it's not something that we grew up or is produced or practiced back home. The word for us and for me, the word mince is very foreign. It's a foreign word and foreign process, so we don't process our meat that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. Mm. Thanks for that. So, yeah, it's so cool how we've got the two versions of the book. But what it's really enabled us to do is to add to both our Māori and our Pacifica collections and libraries, so which is something we're always needing and wanting to do. And the other good news is, as well as the hard copy versions, both books are now available as e-books on OverDrive. So if you've got the Libby app, you can borrow it that way, so which I'm really, really pleased about. So I really just do want to say congratulations to both of you this beautiful book. So, Terry, I'll come to you. When you first saw your book in print, when you kind of opened the box and there it is, how did it feel?
It felt a little unreal, especially because it took a while for us to get it to that stage. It was a very slow process because we were learning new things, discovering new things, questioning new things the whole way through. So to see it actually in print was an unreal experience and fairly exciting too, I have to say. Very happy to have it being produced, and it looks so good too.
Yes, it really, really does. And Ronnie, what about you? How did you feel? Oh, I'm famous.
I don't know about being excited about being famous, but if anything, I was pleased that we had crossed another milestone in our content creations, projects. So more so I'm pleased for Terry that the actual book is actually there was there, printed and ready for the for our readers. So I was really, really happy. It felt surreal and to actually handle the book and to know that it's actually there, it's done, the work is done.
Oh, yeah, it must be. It's such an achievement. So now, Terry, the story it's a universal story, isn't it? The one, Mom, I'm hungry. I think everyone will relate to it. Can you tell us a bit about the story? And being a mum yourself, I'm sure you relate to it as well.
So as a mum, like I have four children, the kids were always hungry and they were always coming up to me, I'm hungry. And I'd think, hang on, I just went to the supermarket last night. I know there's food in the cupboard.
Yeah.
and I'll tell them, go and have a look in the kitchen and see what you can find. And they'll come back. It's like, but there's nothing there. And I think, gosh, what's wrong with my kids? Like, do they need to go and maybe I need their eyes checked or something like that? Or maybe they've inherited something from their father. So they were always hungry. They would never could find anything in the cupboards, even though I knew there was food in the fridge and in the cupboards. And so that was the kind of the knuckle of the story, the idea the whakaaro behind the story.
Yeah, oh, it's fantastic. And because it is, it's such a universal story, isn't it? And especially with the modern woman too. So mum's busy at home, sort of multitasking. She's doing everything, and including organising the kids. She's got the house full of food, also works out for money outside the home, and so it's a great story, and but it's very funny too, isn't it? So now and then, Ronnie, the decision to have a Samoan translation of the book, I think, was a brilliant one, and I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that translation process, because I know you were saying earlier that you had a few conversations with your proofreader, didn't you, about a couple of concepts or a couple of words.
Absolutely. So, I mean, first of all credit to the team again, you know, for deciding to have a Samoan version of Terry's book. Thank you, Terry. But for me, I'm very passionate about translating, so it wasn't a hard decision at all. When I was asked, or when the idea was put on the table, if there could be a translation or a Samoan version of Terry's book, you know, I knew it was doable because I had that confidence in me that it can be done. And because I speak and write Samoan fluently, so there was never, you know, a question in my mind that this could be done, you know. What I do want to acknowledge is the help of the proofreader from the Oratia publishing company out west that we had collaborated with on this project. And the way I say that is that this is the first children's book that I have translated, literally translated in Samoan. And it's also the first time that I've had to go through the process of publishing a book, you know, and translating a book, and the role translation plays into bringing the book together. So that's very important, and it's really important, and I give credit to Oratia Publishing, because they had some proofreaders there to, you know, to proofread what I had translated. And we did have some discussion. There were two words in the translation that we had some kind of like, you know, deep discussion about, one of which was the translation of the word letters, you know. So I translated letters differently from the way the proofreader they said that it needed, it was, they translated it as literally translated it as latisi. Latisi also translates to radish. So, and I didn't, there's no, for me, that's a made up word. It's not, you know, latisi, it didn't make sense to me. So, I thought, I wanted to translate the word so that the child can understand, you know, the meaning behind the word. So, and that's why I used, tomato kukamu. Yeah, so I translated it as laula aufai salati, which means a leaf used to make a salad or a sandwich. Laula au being leaf, you know, and then salati, fai means to, or make, and then salati, salad. So that's what I'm saying. It's really important that the proofreader has a role in this, because we can bounce off ideas, and you can bounce off, because also it brought to me the important, reminded me the importance of writing for the audience, the importance of writing for the right audience. And in this case, we were writing for children, and we needed to speak to the child in the language that's easy for them to understand.
Oh, no, that's really interesting. And because then you're wanting to, it's that also that thing about where does the food come from, or what sort of, so yeah. to say a salad leaves
yeah.
means the kids think, oh, well, I could use, probably use other salad leaves too if I didn't have
yeah,
and some sort of lettuce or, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, I also, what I found important about this project is what I learnt from translating Terry's story into the Samoan language is the importance of the correct use of macron and apostrophe in our language. That you're not just literally just writing something without using the apostrophe to make the sound more effective. The correct presentation of phonemic lateral stop in the language, and also the importance of repetition. And
yes.
all credit to Terry for using the, you know, coming up with the idea to repeat, because that's really, again, it's really important for the child.
Yes, and because that's the elements of a good book.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? The rhythm, rhyme and
yeah.
repetition,
yeah.
The three R's.
So well done to Terry.
Yes, and well done to yeah. both of you. Because I was thinking about when you translate something and to preserve its sort of flavour or its spirit too. It's, yeah, but I guess you're right, you're working with really good material
yeah.
too, aren't you? So, yes.
Oh. And trusting yourself that you can actually do it and that the work that you're doing is, you know, will mean something to someone that's going to be reading the story.
Yeah, to your yeah. your intended audience. Oh, that's excellent. And because speaking of the, you know, what makes a good picture book, the illustrations are wonderful, aren't they?
They're
and
brilliant.
They've done by the well-known artist Nooroa Te Hira Anguna, and he lives on Waiheke Island, and he's really talented visual communicator, isn't he? What I noticed, and I really loved how the illustrations are slightly different in both versions of the book, and I sort of felt it shows how much care and aroha went into to producing the book. It was, you can tell it's done with love.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all those details. Yeah, I really love that one. I'm jumping ahead again because I loved it so much about the illustrations show how the mum is so capable and kind, and how she can lift the couch with one hand while she's
superwoman.
Yeah, super yeah. vacuuming yeah. and organising the family. So it's like she's the typical modern woman, isn't she? The multitasker, and she's across everything related to the whānau.
Yeah,
yeah. And but the illustrations really, really show that. And, yeah, just those lovely details. But I was wondering if either of you had worked with Nooroa before. Because I know he's done a bit of collaboration with libraries, say.
Yeah, all credit to Nooroa for bringing the book to life. I don't know, I haven't spent as much time with him or have such a long relationship as Ronnie, so maybe she can speak a bit more about, yeah.
Absolutely. So I've known Nooroa for well over 20 years because back in the days when I used to work in the forefront out in the libraries,
yeah.
when I was a librarian out there serving customers, Nooroa, I asked Nooroa to come into the library to do a cartoon workshop with some of our local primary schools out in Mangere at the time. And at the time, him and Ali Kelly, another cartoonist, they were doing some work on the Brotown cartoon
right.
show. So it was quite, when Brotown was out at the time, it was quite popular.
It was
and
huge.
So I wanted to get him, either one of them, to come to the library and do some workshopping with some of our local schools, which they did, and they absolutely loved him. So I have known him for quite some time. You know, I've seen his work. I really, really like his work. And like Terry said before, all credit to him for bringing this project to life, because otherwise if we were just writing just stories and lines of words there, no illustration, it wouldn't be a good book.
It makes it quite different, doesn't
it? Absolutely. Yeah.
And I know also that Noroa has, he worked on the Kittabus project up at the Warkworth Library.
Yes,
so,
he did.
If any of our listeners are interested in that, they could check it out up at Warkworth, because that was a great thing that they've been working on.
And the thing with him is very, you know, family-oriented guy, and he's very warm.
Yes.
I hope he doesn't mind me saying this on national radio, but to me, he's like a warm teddy bear. He's very nice, such a nice guy, very approachable and, you know, good to work with.
I think he understands the Polynesian community really well, and he's able to bring that into the illustrations so well.
I think you can see that because the illustrations are so warm, aren't they, and welcoming, and the detail in the homes. So I love that artwork on the wall. It says Aroha, Aloha, Alofa, and love. And just those sort of little details, but it just gives you a really nice feeling, doesn't it, about the family and the home. Yeah. And the other thing I loved in the book that I felt keeps it really current was the messaging that we must wash our hands before we prepare or eat food. And I know that that's, you know, standard practice in kōhanga settings, but I just sort of thought in this age of COVID, it's really good role modelling and reinforcement for the kids, isn't
it? It's relevant.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Terry, I was going to ask you to tell us a bit about the community reading story time that you did at Te Matariki Clendon Library with the kids. It was so cute. I just was, when I saw it on Instagram, talk about overload of cuteness.
I was slightly nervous to do that, actually, because I've never given a story time before. I have a long career in libraries, and this is one thing that I haven't done.
The joys of story time,
But, very cute. So they were tamariki that came from some of the ECE centres. So they weren't Te Reo Māori speakers, but with my colleague Pani's help, so I told the story in Te Reo Māori, and then Pani did a bit of translating, but I was surprised at how engaged they were even with the Te Reo Māori. Yeah, and I think, again, credit to Nōroa for the illustrations. And it was just so funny, I thought, because the kids were like, but there's no food, they're hungry. But there's food, there's food in the fridge. You can see in the pictures. But yeah, they that whole thing, it was just funny how it came out, like, in real time as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But they were
funny
so
like
cute,
that, aren't they?
Yeah, just so cute. And, and then afterwards, because Councillor Alf Filipina came as well, I have a quick chat with him, and he was telling me about his upbringing, because he's Māori Samoan. He was, he's from Ngāpuhi, so he was just saying as a boy of six boys in his whānau, he was also very hungry, and he related well to the story as well. So, very funny. But the tamariki were just awesome.
Oh, that was so cute, weren't they? Yeah, and actually, that talking about Councillor Filipina's memories of the similar sort of things happening, it reminded me that I was going to ask you this earlier and then forgot. But we were talking earlier about the your whānau in Whanganui, and they were reading both versions of the book, weren't they?
So I'm Māori, but my husband is Samoan, so I took the book down for his parents just to have a look, you know, to show them the Samoan version, Tina. And while we were there, one of my mother-in-law's brothers was there, and he had a look at it, and I was very surprised because he related to it in a way which I wasn't expecting, because it's a very basic book. But yeah, he was saying that when he was a child, the tina always came up, like, I'm hungry, that question about being hungry. And he said even though they had, like, breadfruit and taro, and, you know, but they were always hungry, and there was that, again, that universality of the book. And very surprised that he read into it in a way that I hadn't thought about. He was saying one of the reasons he came to New Zealand was that he wanted, you know, to provide more for his family that he was, you know, nurturing. So, yeah, so there was that, which I was very surprised about.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't it? And it's one of those unintended consequences, I guess, isn't it? And about how reading brings us all together. And
absolutely, yeah.
And you get the grandparents or something, might it brings back memories.
That's
for
right.
Them and, yeah. And then it creates more storytelling.
Yeah, which I was surprised about because it's, you know, I just saw it as a picture book for kids and it's a very basic storyline. But they got so much more out of it.
Yeah. No, it's really hit the mark, hasn't it? I know there's a story in my own family that it's probably over 20 years ago now that it happened, but we still bring it up every time we get together. And it was my little nephew at the time, who was probably about 3 or 4, and he said to my mother, he said, "Nana," and she went, "Yes, darling," and he said, "Alison and me are hungry." And it was like, hey, I didn't say Alison. But we still, you know, so it's a classic sort of thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
and kids do that.
They do, yes.
Yeah. Something needs to be done.
Something
pretty quickly.
Yes, I'm going to make this really important. Yes, if I bring my auntie into it.
Yeah. But I think it's, you know, it's wonderful that Terry's story, this story, took her uncle or the husband's uncle back to Samoa and back here to New Zealand, to Aotearoa, reminiscing about, you know. And then I think that's a uniqueness of this story. It's simple. The storyline may be simple, but everybody can relate to it, from a child, a baby, up to Aokuya, you know, koro. Everybody, you know, can relate to it.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You know, I'm excited because I have a nephew that's married to a Māori. And when I told them about the story, they said, "Auntie, when are we getting copies?" Because they want a copy of the Māori version as well as the Samoan. Because then, good, we could read the stories to our children, to their little girls.
Yes. So that's just
exciting.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So cool. So just going to ask you what advice you'd give to an aspiring Māori or Pacifica author who, you know, if someone might be listening to this and they think they've got a story in them, what would you say?
I would say test it, find an audience, read it to them, see what they say, get their feedback on it, change it up if you have to, test it again. That's what I would say, and then go hunting for publishers.
Oh, it's really practical advice.
Yeah.
Good on you, thanks for that, yeah. And, because I think most of us have at least one story to tell, and storytelling can take so many forms, can't it?
It can.
Might be poetry or music or
social media.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Forgot about that. Yeah, that's true. Hey, now, what's the next project for you?
Good question.
Hollywood.
We have an interview with CNN. And
yes, Vegas.
New York bestseller soon.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Yeah. And, because we were saying yesterday, if you won Lotto, what would you do if you won Lotto?
I definitely would retire and write full-time.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good
Because I think lifestyle. Terry's kind of like awakened this hidden talent
desire
inside me, you know, to write bilingual, you know, for our children or, you know, tamariki of the future, because I think it's really important.
Oh, well, look, we'll watch this space and can't wait to see what you come up with next. So, so talented, both of you, and so generous of you to come on the show today. I really, really appreciate it. And we know that both books are going to be huge assets to the libraries, and they'll really enhance that experience of reading in our community. So get yourself on the list. So get requesting and make sure you read both of these copies. So to our listeners, thanks for tuning in today. This has been really fun. I've enjoyed it. Take care and be kind to yourselves. Haere rā, ka kite anō. program was brought to you by Auckland Libraries. Find us online at aucklandlibraries.govt.nz and catch the program next Sunday at 9:35 p.m. on 104.6 FM or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/booksandbeyond. Every day, every day, every day.